We're going to be sharing with you this morning from a little book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm just going to read through this. I don't know how many verses I'm going to get through this morning. I just want to read the whole chapter so we can get the context of everything that Paul is saying. Paul had met a young man and led him to the Lord. He'd come to know the Lord Jesus through Paul's ministry. His name was Timothy. And Paul loved him very much. He was like a son to him. And Timothy loved Paul. Timothy became a minister and went around to different places. And one of the places I think he ministered was in the church at Ephesus. I'm sure he listened to what Paul said and he became a minister and gave his life to Christ because he had a good teacher, had a good example. So I know that God used him to bless a whole lot of people and strengthen them and then to encourage them. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Everybody say hope. If you have any hope in this world, that one day when you depart this physical body to stand before the Lord, to know Him as your Lord and your Savior, and that God is your Heavenly Father, that hope is through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, not through anything else. This is one of the things that Paul is wanting to express here in this chapter 1 to Timothy, because he's going to give him some instructions on how to even what to share with the people in the church wherever he went in his ministry. Verse 2, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. That's going to be our text this morning because I'm going to share with you grace, mercy, and peace. And I want us to realize from where that comes from, our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And if Timothy needed that, and Paul, I think, says that in a number of his writings to the people that he wrote to, he was always saying grace, mercy, and peace to you. I thank God through His Spirit and through His Word is saying the same thing to each and every one of us. God wants us to enjoy His grace. He wants us to enjoy His mercy, and He wants us to enjoy His peace. And I felt like this morning we needed to spend a little time on those so we could really understand what that means and how much God loves us and what we have in our lives so that we can expect it and look for it and enjoy it. The joy, after all, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need to have the joy of the Lord because that's where our strength comes from. If we don't have the joy of the Lord and we don't know it and confess it and act upon it, well then, you know, our strength is probably not as strong as it ought to be. Amen? We're not as strong spiritually as we're supposed to be. And I believe that that strength not only just covers our spiritual being, but also covers our physical being. Verse 3, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, evidently when he went to Macedonia, he probably met Timothy there, remained in Ephesus, or he met him there, that you may charge some. So here's his charge. Paul's telling him, this is what I want you to do. And in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. There's a lot of strange doctrines floating around in the world today. And God doesn't want us or any of us to share a strange gospel, a strange doctrine. He wants us to share the true gospel, the true doctrine. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. So we're supposed to teach us, and we're supposed to share with others, even though we may not be in the ministry. As children of God, we're supposed to be able to share. That doesn't mean we go around making a nuisance out of ourselves trying to share the gospel with people and tell them something that they probably don't want to hear or don't appreciate or don't really understand in the first place. But he does want us to know and understand that if anyone asks because they see that we have a hope, amen? They see that there's something different about us, that we have a hope. There's something about us. There's something about a Christian that's different. And they may not know exactly what's wrong with us. But they want what we have. Because we have a hope and we have a peace and we have a joy. And we have something different and they don't maybe understand what it is. But when they see it and if they're around us long enough, they should see it. And they should come to the reality that we have something that gives us a peace and gives us a strength and gives us a joy that just passes all understanding. And so that's, and we have a comfort. You know, death, we're not afraid of death because we know that death is just the door closes here. And like we put off these physical bodies that we look out through these two windows we call eyes, and that we understand that this body is just a tent, and that when this body ceases to exist, that our spirit, who we are a spirit being. God is a spirit, Jesus said, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we are a spirit being, and James tells us, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So when we see someone that's laying in a casket or in their ashes or in an urn, that's their tent. That's where they used to live, but they're no longer there. They're in eternity, and hopefully they're with God. Amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Amen. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So, I've urged you that you may teach no other doctrine. Verse 4, something else he's urging, and this is what we need also to hear, especially today, because as I said, there's so many false doctrines and so many things that can misguide us and mislead us if we don't really follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and get into His Word. Verse 4, so what Paul is saying to Timothy here, the Holy Spirit through His Word is saying, us as Christians, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Don't get caught up in all of the religious hoopla, which causes disputes, causes arguments, it causes disagreements, instead of rather godly edification, which is in faith. So if we don't give heed to these other doctrines and traditions of men and all these other endless fables and genealogies, which some people get into and get into those religious disputes and arguments, and we just remain in the true doctrine, then that true doctrine and the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the Word and through us and our minds and our conscience edifies us and builds us up and strengthens us and encourages us, and that includes our faith. We grow in the grace, that is, we grow in the love. The Bible tells us that we are to grow. That means to expand our understanding, to expand our relationship with God, to develop that to grow and to develop that into more understanding and so that we'll understand more and more of His grace. One of the reason I understand more and more of His grace today is because I've been walking with Him for over 60 some odd years, and He's forgiven me so many times of so many things, where maybe not just necessarily evil, bad, terrible things, but just things where I forgot Him, or where I didn't talk to Him, or I neglected His word, or I neglected Him, and I got involved with the things of the world. Not bad things, just I got so tied up with trying to make a living and try to pay my bills and trying to take care of my wife, and especially when I had teenagers, trying to take care of teenagers or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? All of these different things. There's just so many things in this world other than just outright sins that it's just living that and trying to make a living and trying to survive in this world. There's so many things that distract us and get our minds away from where we ought to be, that's why he says, 1 John 5 comes to my mind, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, I think it is. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So he tells us to set our minds, in Ephesians, to set our minds on things above, not on things on this earth. And that's something that we have to do. That's in Ephesians. We have to do that. He tells us to put off the old man and to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. That we have the mind of Christ. And we need to allow that mind to be in us. So that comes by understanding grace and mercy. Amen? And so as we understand that and as we develop that relationship, we understand that we as believers can depend on the Lord, not just for our salvation, not just to depend on the fact that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that not just in the fact that when we die we're going to heaven, but we can depend on the Lord to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And that allows us to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. So this is a practical thing. This is a living relationship. This is something that God wants us to do. Not because He wants to put us in bondage and bring us into some kind of religious bondage, but because He loves us and He wants to know He cares for us, and He cares what happens to us, and He cares how we live and how we get along, and He cares when we're hurting, and He cares when we're discouraged, and He cares when we're frustrated. He cares about all of us and everything that affects us. Because He's a Heavenly Father and He loves us with His heavenly love, He knows all about you, where you are, what you think. Amen? And for some of us, He loves us in spite of what we think. Amen? And He tells us you ought not to think that way. Amen? So that's called putting off the old man and putting on the new man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to say excuse me. I'm just doing whatever God tells me to do here. All right. So we're not to give heed to these things, genealogies and fables and things that cause us, but rather to build ourselves up in the faith and to have some godly edification and godly growth. We have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment. See, we have a problem here. Boy, I could spend a week on all of this, or maybe longer. One of the things that we need to understand that's become support sometimes of the dispute and the doctrines is that people will teach us that to keep the Ten Commandments and to do those things will save us. You with me? How many of us have heard that? That's one of the doctrines. You don't keep the Ten Commandments? Well, let me tell you, just right off, just look at the first one. We can't even get past that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hand and lie to me here. We don't, any of us, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So we all break the Ten Commandments. Amen? Do we all sin and come short of the glory of God? That's what sin is. That's breaking the Ten Commandments. Right? It involves even more than that, but that's... But basically, so he wants Timothy to understand, and the Bible wants us to understand, because it wouldn't be written here if it didn't want us to understand. What is the purpose of the commandment? The purpose of the commandment is to love. It's to love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Now, I could... boy. I could spend a lot of time on each one of those. I just want to ask you... I'm not even going to ask anybody that was a Christian before they were saved if they had a pure conscience, because I know they didn't. Right? I'm just going to ask you... After you've been saved, has your conscience been perfect? Have you ever done something and it didn't have to be somebody, your mom or your dad or somebody yelling at you or telling you and screaming at you or just talking to you and say, hey, that wasn't right what you did. That was wrong. Has your conscience, has your conscience ever convicted you of sin? It has ever told you that you should not have said that, because what you said about that person hurt them. And that's not what I want you to do. I don't want you to hurt them. I want you to love them. You say, well, they're not for me. They're against me. They're my enemies. Well, he tells us, love your enemies. You say, well, that's impossible. Yes, it is. It's not humanly possible for any of us to love our enemies, but God loves his enemies. And so, are you with me? God loves his enemies, so how are you going to love your enemy? Only God's love through you will love your enemy. Amen? And you can say, wow, Lord, that person did this to me, and I just want to go knock their eyeball. I just want to kill them. I just want to beat them up. I just, whatever we want to do. Amen? We might as well be truthful. Don't be a liar. Amen? He knows. We're not hiding anything. So we just say, Lord, are you... I don't know what to say this or not. Maybe this is the way I should say it. Lord, I feel hate for that person. I just don't like that person. I'm sorry, Father, but I just don't like them. I can't stand them. They did this to me, and they did that to my dog. They did that to my cat. They did that to my wife. They did that to my husband. They did whatever. Maybe I just don't like the way they look. They don't treat me right. They don't look at me. They don't have any respect for me. But whatever it is, we need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to be honest with God, and we need to have a pure conscience. And the only way we can have that is if we confess our sins, 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So when I confess that, and God may say this, I feel the same way about them as you do. I can't hardly stand them either. Are you with me? You say, Brother Lewis, you got to be joking. No. For God so loved the world, for God so loved his enemies, he gave his only begotten son because he so loved them, he gave his son for them. We weren't always, probably still not goody-goody two-shoes running around, you know. Are you beginning to understand what the love of God is? God's love is so beyond our comprehension that we've got to have special revelations. And the way that special revelation comes to us from time to time is that he shows us that even though we don't deserve this, I'm going to love you anyway. Even though you don't deserve this and you've been naughty, I'm going to forgive your sins and I'm just going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to give you that new car you want. Or I'm going to give you that job. Or I'm going to give you this money. Or I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to... Listen, all the people when Jesus was here on this earth, if in case you don't realize this, he was God in the flesh. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Are you with me? So when we see and we read in the Word of God the things that Jesus did, and we read in the Word of God the things that he said, that's God speaking. That is God speaking. And he says, he that knows me knows the Father. Amen? Now, why am I saying all this? Because I want you to know that he didn't go around healing the saved people. I'm going to let that sink in. He didn't go around opening the blind eyes of the saved people. As a matter of fact, the so-called saved, the so-called righteous law keepers, the keepers of the law and the doers of the Ten Commandments, and the ones that were going to the temple and offering the blood sacrifices, they were his worst enemies. In fact, they came to his disciples and said, Why is Jesus God in the flesh? Why is he associating with publicans and sinners? Why doesn't he associate with the rest of us religious people? Can somebody say, wow? And so when he went around doing good, he wasn't saying well to the crippled man laying at the well, or to the blind man, or to the man came to him and said, my son, the centurion that came to him and said, my son is dying. Are you with me? He didn't say, well, if he'll go keep the Ten Commandments, if he'll join the church, if he'll get religion, if he'll get baptized, or if he'll just believe in me, I'll do all of these things for him. No, bless God, he just saw the man laying there by the well, and there's a bunch of people laying there, and he could have healed them all. Are you with me? But God was in him, and God, he said, I only do... Now listen, he was God in the flesh. He was saying to them, I only do what God shows me to do. I only speak what God tells me to speak. Because he was... God said, out of all the human beings that have ever been born, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He was without sin. He was perfect, because if he had sin and if he wasn't perfect, he wouldn't have been the perfect sacrifice, and not any of us in the world could be saved. He took our sins in his body, not his sins. He wasn't dying on the cross because he was a sinner. He was dying on a cross because we are sinners. And he wants to have something to do with us because he loves us. And it doesn't mean we have to do something, get some kind of religion, or keep some kind of commandments in order to get him to love us. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, and that was before any of us was ever born and even could do right or wrong. And besides that, he knew what all we were going to be doing anyway before we ever even were born. And he still loved us. Amen. So we're to grow. Now listen, when it says we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's what we're supposed to grow in. We're supposed to grow in the grace. Grace means love. We're supposed to grow in the love. We're supposed to know more about how he loves us. We're supposed to know more about what he knows and that he knows all about us. And we're supposed to get better acquainted with him. I've already forgot where I was, but I'm just going to go on. Get better acquainted. That comes to my mind. And what comes to my mind is this. Now, I could say this about a lot of people in this church, so I'm not just singling anyone out in particular. It could be any one of you. But I'm just going to single out this man right here. All right? I love him. He's my brother. I feel he loves me. We have a kindred spirit. Now, that's not from me. It is flowing through me, but it's coming from God. It's because I love God, and God's love has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And so because I love him, now listen, I want to spend some time with him. Amen? So here's the point. If a man loves a woman, let's just go this direction. If a man loves a woman, how does he show that? If a woman loves a man, how does she show that? Well, let me say this. She doesn't want to go off to Africa and leave him all alone in the United States of America. She wants to spend some time. They want to be together because they love one another. They may not necessarily, as I found out, when I met my wife and I loved her and she loved me and we decided to get married, and we did, and I didn't realize what I got into. And I say that not in a bad way. I'm just in a loving way. I'm just saying that I didn't know everything there was to know about her. And let me say something else. She didn't know everything there was to know about me either. Can I just tell you a crazy story? Might as well. Because we're talking about getting to know one another, all right? So we're married. I'm at Foster Air Force Base in Victoria, Texas. I don't remember what we were making. I think $137.10 a month, something like that. It wasn't. We lived in an old shack in a 2-bedroom house. We come one, and it was pitch black in the bathroom. You had to turn on the lights. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. It was a divided house, and we lived in one side of it. And we came down to Ingleside because I was in Victoria, and that one, I would join the military. I wanted to see the world. Well, I did. I went from Ingleside to San Antonio and San Antonio to Victoria, and I sent my whole enlistment there. I really got to see some of the world. Ugh. What I was going to tell you, it was so dark, we came home on the weekend, and I looked, came back to the house, and a rat had her babies in our bathtub. And that's not a lie. That's where we lived. And that was when our first child had just been born, our son. He was not even a year old. But we lived in a lot of trashy, junky places. We didn't have an automobile. I had to hitchhike to work. That's the reason we moved in that junky place in the first place, is because the HEB's was only a block and a half away, and I could walk over there and buy groceries and steal one of the Kroger baskets and push the groceries back home. I didn't steal it. I just bought it. I always take it back because I had to go get more groceries. Amen? Are y'all with me? How did I get on this anyway? Exactly right. So what I was going to tell you, I came home. So I had gone to the grocery store, bought some groceries, and I bought about, in our groceries, because we didn't have a lot of money, I bought three bananas. I think it was three. Two or three. And put them up on top of the refrigerator, or she did. So I have a dry sense of humor. Now, this is just some crazy thing. So I come home from work one day, and I'm just kind of looking around trying to make conversation. You know, we're getting acquainted. And I look up there on the refrigerator, and there's supposed to be three bananas up there, and there's only two. So I'm just making a joke. I'm saying, "Who ate my banana?" Wow. Woo! She didn't jump on me, fuss at me, cuss at me, but I learned later I tore her heart out. She told me about it because I accused her and was, I didn't realize she felt that way. Just dumb me. Now, ladies, you give us husbands credit. We're not so smart as you think we are sometimes. Okay? Same thing with you wives, with your wives. So I learned. And as we grew, I knew, and as our love grew and as our love expanded, it didn't mean she hated me. It just means she didn't understand me. So we grew in our love and our knowledge, in our relationship with one another. And we found out that we loved even more later on than we did at first, because we got to understanding one another and we got to helping one another, because now we were beginning to learn. We were beginning to have some knowledge. And because we had the grace, we were getting the knowledge. And as we were had the grace, and that's the beginning of it. And then as we grew, we got the knowledge. And so now I'm talking here. Are you with me? I'm not just talking about a relationship between a man and a wife, but even in the Bible talks about the relationship with a husband and a wife, that it's like a relationship with God. So if we have the grace, if we love one another, then whether we like it or not, we have to put up with one another. Amen. God, I don't mind putting up with God, because sometimes I don't understand Him. I wonder sometimes, why in the world? Well, God, where are you? Why am I going through this? Have you ever wondered that since you've been a Christian? Wow. Why aren't you answering my prayers? See, the enemy comes, and he knows where we are in this situation and in this relationship. And so he brings up these things or causes us to get into these circumstances and situations or life, or allows us to, us sometimes even purposely, intentionally puts them in front of us so that we'll doubt God and question God and throw away our faith and our hope in God. Destroy our relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's what he's wanting to do. The enemy comes not but for, Jesus said, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Don't let him. Don't allow him. Boy, I'm running out of time. I wish I wouldn't, but I am. Verse 5, for 1 Timothy chapter 1. The purpose of the commandment is not to put us in bondage. The purpose of the commandment is to bring us to understand what love is, and that love is from a pure heart. Also, the purpose of that commandment and the Ten Commandments is to give us a good conscience and to increase or give us sincere faith. Amen? Now, I just want to ask you, isn't that wonderful? So you see, the lie of the enemy is that God gave you those Ten Commandments because he knew you couldn't keep them, because he hated you and he wanted you to know that you were lost and undone. God gave you the Ten Commandments so you could realize that you can't keep them, that you're lost, that we're sinners, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he sent his only begotten Son to take our sins in his body on the cross and bear our sins so that he might be able to love us and forgive us and help us to have a relationship with him, because that's what he wants to have, is a relationship with us, and that's the reason we're here in the first place. Amen? If you don't get anything else out of this, get that. Amen? God loves you. And I'll put it this way. God loves you whether you like it or not. Amen? Well, I don't want him to love me. Well, that's just too late. He already loves you anyway. Amen? Amen? And he wants you to have a relationship with you. Not to put with him. Not to put you in bondage. But so that you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for this time together. We never cease to be amazed at your amazing grace. And we so appreciate it. And we want to express our gratitude, knowing what you've done for us, knowing that you left your Son in horrible torture and horrible agony, so much so that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You left him because you loved us. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, that's just so amazing. It's just so wonderful. No wonder we can sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. No wonder we can enjoy your love and your friendship and your just being good to us and blessing us in so many wonderful ways. So we just want to say thank you. And Lord, that seems so inadequate. Just to say thank you. Your word tells us we submit our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And it is more than reasonable. You gave your all for us. And I wonder sometimes, what are we giving for you? And it doesn't matter. We haven't given anything like we should have. We just thank you that you gave your son for us so that we can know you and have a relationship with you and enjoy the fullness of your blessings and your provisions in our lives. We want to thank you for that we can breathe, that we have a heartbeat, that we have a life, that we have a wife, that we have a husband, that we have children, that we have grandchildren, that we have a job, that we have we thank you for everything, Lord, everything, because we know that without you, we wouldn't have anything. Thank you so much, Father. Now I'm going to open up the altar here if anybody wants to come for any reason. If you need to just kind of come and say, God, just forgive me, or God, thank you, or whatever you, if the Lord lays it on your heart to do anything at this time in a public response to God, please do that at this time. That's just between you and God. I just want to give you the opportunity. If he has told you to do something, don't do it something because of me or anybody else. Just do it because you feel like he wants you to. I want to thank you all for being here this morning. I want to pray God's richest blessings upon every one of you. And I pray God's best for you, that you'd realize how he loves you, how he strengthens you, and how he's helping you, how the job that you have, he gave it to you. He provided you the means and the knowledge and the understanding so you could do that job. He provided the relationship with your friends and your loved ones and your mom and your dad and your brothers and your sisters and aunts and uncles, even though some of them may not like you or love you or whatever. That doesn't make any difference, you know. I just want you to know, God's good. And start right now by saying, Lord, I want to draw close to you. I want to know you. I want to develop that relationship that I have with you. I want you to know I thank you for what you've done. I appreciate you. And let me know you more. And then let me, as the opportunity arises, by my life that I live, to let other people know that there's something different about me. I know you. And let them see what you've done in my life, cause them to want to have the same thing and happening in their life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Praise God.